cliffcentral.com.
Rich Mulholland's here. It's time for us to find out what's annoying him, what's driving him crazy, and what we need to talk about, what we all need to get into. So, Rich, happy. How are you?
I'm very good.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah, nice to be back.
The last time we saw you, you just got back from Iceland, and you had some stories to tell there. You've been traveling again.
Yeah, quite a bit. Been in, last in reverse order, Puerto Rico, UK, Portugal, Canada, and Dubai.
Jeez. Nice.
Yeah. No, not really.
Canada?
Yeah, Canada.
You were in what? Saskatchewan?
I was in, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton on a speaker tour there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was well. Cool. It went very well. I was staying in an airport hotel and basically flying every morning to the next venue and back.
That's tough.
Yeah, so it's not like you see anything. There's you fly in, you have a lunch, you do your talk, and you fly back out. And I literally stayed in an airport hotel and went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was very cool. The Canadians are awesome.
All right, what's driving you mad today?
The internet. People on the internet.
All right, who and what are they doing?
Okay, so I was I woke up on Sunday morning to get caught up into one of these Twitter battles that sucked me in. It was like it had so much internet gravity that I just couldn't escape it.
Yeah,
and it was centered around one of my favorite people and one of my least favorite people. So my favorite comedian by such a long shot is a guy by the name of Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, we all love him.
He is hilarious.
Australian guy,
yeah,
right?
Australian guy. He's smart. He's funny. He says the most deeply inappropriate things in such a way that even people who would normally be offended, they're laughing. And then they go home and they flagellate themselves for laughing at like they shouldn't laugh at these jokes.
Right. I agree with you. Fantastic comedian.
Right. Now, he was up against, or he was in a debate on, I think it was Bill Maher's show.
Yeah, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Real Time, yeah. Against Piers Morgan, amongst others.
Piers Morgan, who's
bit of
really,
an asshat.
Yeah, he is an asshat. Piers Morgan's a name dropper. He was involved in that. Well, I mean, he says he wasn't, but he was involved with Rebecca Lewes and all those filthy people in Rupert Murdoch's stable back in England before he became well known in America for being
the Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, also he was a judge on America's Got Talent.
Oh yeah,
Celebrity
that was
Apprentice.
First.
All of that stuff, and he got quite cozy with a lot of the celebrities, and he considers himself a celeb now, and that's his favorite thing is being a celeb.
Right.
So he is an asshat.
And I mean, I find the one thing about him though is I don't think he's an idiot.
No,
I think he's a smart guy. I just don't agree with what he says about a lot of things. He's quite conservative.
Well, you'd think so, but he was one of the guys who was absolutely hell-bent on gun control in America.
Still.
Big thing. It's one of the reasons he was supposedly fired from taking over the Larry King gig at CNN. So he absolutely does not occupy just one space on the political spectrum.
And in fact, that is exactly what the point of my conversation is today. So I don't know, do you have the clip queued up?
Yeah,
we can have a listen to a bit of
quickly.
The debate.
So this is Bill Maher in the middle, and then you've got Jim Jefferies, and you've got Piers Morgan. All right, let's listen to it.
The people who said during the campaign...
Hang on, this is a terrible clip. Let me just find a better one.
Right, so...
Sorry. It's the most awful clip ever. Let me just see if this is the right one. Right.
Yeah.
Could I ask this one last question? The people who said during the campaign that Hillary Clinton was the lesser of two evils, could we get the apology right now?
Yeah.
Why?
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 As if... Are you serious?
I'm serious, yeah.
Like Hillary Clinton would have a cabinet with Betsy DeVos and fucking Rick Perry?
She wouldn't have a Muslim ban.
They wouldn't have a Muslim ban. They wouldn't be feuding with everybody in the world. They wouldn't be
tweeting.
They wouldn't be doing this shit with Russia. Are you crazy?
Bear hugging.
Calm down, Bill. There is no Muslim ban. If there was,
fuck off.
Sorry, why don't we
fuck off?
Okay.
It's a fucking Muslim ban.
This is the point. This isn't talk about the hysteria. I'm talking about 85% of the world's Muslims are allowed into the country.
This is what you do, Piers. You say he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, he's not going to do all these things. Give him a fucking chance, mate.
And
you know what I mean?
Why not?
Hitler didn't kill the Jews on the first day. He worked up to it.
Mate.
I have to stop you.
That is the exact ridiculous, hysterical, over-the-top nonsense.
If people
that is,
got
I'm afraid,
hysterical in Germany,
like you,
right away, then it wouldn't have...
He's not the new Hitler.
You just like You just like that you won The Apprentice and you have a famous friend, mate. That's all you fucking like.
Right, can mate, I say one thing?
I know what
that's all you like.
Losing,
that's all you like.
You're losing your audience.
Here I'm not right, losing my
because
audience.
You're sounding...
All right, anyway. So you get you the actually, basic idea.
So what happens is Piers is now having a discussion about some political fact, and Jim Jefferies' answer is, fuck you. Mm. And this goes on, and it's insulting, and it's you're a guy with a rich friend, and even when, in fact, any political... conversation that they had, it felt like Jim Jefferies was running one-liners and Piers Morgan was being reasonable. Now, I said it was the internet that made me angry, not these two guys. These two guys, they're online, they're doing their thing. Mm-hmm. What I hated was how, so for me, big Jim Jefferies fan, think Piers Morgan's an asshat. But I thought Jim Jefferies looked like an asshole on that, and I thought Piers Morgan looked like a smart, intelligent person trying to articulate a point of view. Mm-hmm. What frustrated me is that if you generally agree with the politics of one side, you'll always take that side, even in face of when you're going against the evidence. And to me, I was seeing everybody turn around and said, yeah, Jim Jefferies owned Piers Morgan. Now, when Piers Morgan said there, oh, you're losing your audience, I mean, he was losing his audience.
Yeah,
they were getting less and less and less cheery. And it just seems to me so crazy that if we accept one thing about our political standpoint, we feel that we have to take their side on everything. If we accept one thing, because for me, so I'm all for gun control, but I don't think I agree with abortion. Right? I kind of feel like, yes, women should have the right to choose, but I think that bit happened already. Now, I'm not going to debate this, and I absolutely understand even within there's nuance. There's different circumstances.
Sure.
Even within there's nuance. And so I'm willing to have my rules be challenged or my thoughts be challenged at any point. What frustrates me is that most people are not. If you've decided to put your peg in the sand that you are with this one group, well, then you're going to accept everything that they say, even when what they say is fucking stupid. And that's a problem for me. I think that we need to be able to stand up and say...
Or if you're a fan of Jim Jefferies, that suddenly everything Jim Jefferies says has to resonate with you.
Right. Now, what amazes me is the people who are calling Donald Trump a misogynist for some of the things he says. Mm. If on the misogyny scale...
Yeah, if Donald Trump,
was a 3,
yeah.
Jim Jefferies is at 8, 9, or 10. Now, I don't think he's actually a misogynist, but I'm saying in terms of what he has said in public for laughs.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he pushes way off the... And again, I don't say this, I'm not trying to bring him down. He's still my favorite comedian. I think he's absolutely amazing. But what I think we need to move away from is blind acceptance of ideas and blind acceptance of everything.
You know what? You raised such an important point. I don't want to gild the lily on this, but I've discovered something in the last couple of days. I had someone on the line the other day, an American friend of mine, who said something about Donald Trump fascist or whatever. And I thought, you know what? And I didn't let her get away with it. I said to her, if you're going to say Donald Trump is Hitler, then you've run out of superlatives after that. If he becomes worse, if he's a worse person in a week's time than he was this week, what have you got left to compare him to?
Yes.
If Hitler was the worst person, I think most people in the world would agree that he's certainly right up there. He's in the top 5 most terrible humans who've ever lived. He put millions of people to death in his name by his own wicked purpose. There is no way that anyone would say, well, he was quite a reasonable chap, right?
Right.
I mean, he lost.
And in the
war of what humans consider acceptable going forward, Hitler was the loser. And there isn't very much in the world that you can compare to Hitler, and that doesn't come up looking a little bit better.
Yeah, in fact, to some degree, even comparing Donald Trump to Hitler mitigates how bad Hitler really was.
Correct. So if some guy says grab her by the pussy, suddenly he's the world's biggest woman hater. But there are actually men out there killing women. They are somehow, in my mind, better, much, much worse than Donald Trump.
I mean, Jim Jefferies has a clip about where he tried to date rape a woman.
Exactly. I mean, so this is Jim Jefferies, but he's a comedian, blah, blah, blah. So here's the other thing. I watched in Parliament last Thursday. We've run out of superlatives. The minute someone criticizes the ANC or criticizes the president, someone in the crowd is going to get up and scream racist. Now, if someone in Parliament is by saying that the president has broken the country as being a racist, then what words do you have left for people who actually kill someone because they don't appreciate their race?
Right. Now, let me tell you.
You understand that the whole spectrum has been reduced to a point where the words don't matter anymore. They actually do matter. And if you compare someone to Hitler, you have to be willing to back it up. Show me how he's gassed 6 million people if you're going to call Donald Trump Hitler. If you're going to say Musi Maimane or John Steenhuisen are racist, show me how. And if you can't, you're not allowed to use that word anymore.
For sure. There's two equally important and quite different, I guess, discussions around this topic. The one is on the power of the words that we have. The second, on the same point is that it's very, very lazy. To turn around now, everybody, it's like that's the new word we have for Donald Trump, or so it's Nazi, or it's mm-hmm. racist. And so we throw around those words because we don't have to think about them. They're the easiest response.
But if we really care about what those words mean, racism,
you wouldn't bandy them around.
Exactly. You'd reserve it for the people who really deserve it. And you'd make sure that when you use it with full volition. Yeah. Like it's something that you completely believe to be true and you can substantiate, so that you aren't found in a position where when that person does something much worse than what you've already accused them of being a racist for, you have extra ammo left so that you can go to war with them.
I cut a guy off in traffic the other day. Okay, I cut off this guy in traffic by accident, and it was an accident. I wasn't really an accident. I was being a bit of an ass on my motorbike, mm-hmm. and so at the traffic light, he starts shouting at me. So we start shouting at each other, and then he says, "You're a racist." And I thought, no, I'm a bad motorcyclist. Okay, now as soon as we're all racist for these things, to your point, if everybody is a racist, then racist is not as nearly important a term as it should be.
Yeah.
But what I'd also like to say is that the problem is when we come in with, if you observe any debate with your opinion pre-made up mm-hmm. before you go in there, none of the debate matters, and the debate should matter. If you want to, you need to turn around and say, every time a debate in any topic, even if it's one where I completely agree with one side, okay, so I'm completely for gun control. But if there's a debate between two sides, hell, let's take religion.
Right.
I completely believe in one way that I'm not religious at all. But when I watch a religious debate, I'm not sitting there saying, the guy on my side is going to win. I'm sitting trying to see who's got smarter, newer stuff to bring to this conversation that I haven't considered before. How can my opinion evolve?
You know, two people who I really, on this topic of religion, who I really like to listen to, and they're both apologists for, you know, Christianity. Francis Collins, the scientist, a very smart guy. He's by no means an idiot. And C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Both of them very eloquent, erudite, very, very smart arguers, very good debaters, able to convince you that there is another position that you may have needed to consider. And that is the point. You sometimes get the impression from people who are ignorant that they've never heard an argument against their position.
What they've never done is they've never listened to an argument against their position. And that's the key, right? They've heard it, but they've refused to listen. Everybody went into this debate deciding that Piers was bad because he was, you know, his profile picture is him with his arm around Donald Trump. Therefore, because I dislike Donald Trump, everything he says is stupid.
Right.
And they forget the fact that this is a guy who's fighting Donald Trump saying, no, we need background checks with guns. Mm-hmm. But we can't see beyond that. The guy, in fact, in this particular incident around gun control is actually the rational guy. He's irrational. He's saying, don't take away everybody's guns, but let's just do the background checks. Let's make sure that the right things.
I mean, who wants mentally ill people and terrorists being given whatever weapon they like at Walmart?
Right. So it's completely absurd. Mm-hmm. But again, because we go in with one point of view, and I guess that's the premise of today's discussion, is that we need to clean the slate before listening to any argument. In fact, I mean, to some degree, we need to clean the slate before having an argument. We need to be willing to go into any debate with the position of learning. And even if you don't walk away understanding necessarily or agreeing any more with the person's point of view, at least you have a better understanding of where it came from. Because
Absolutely.
It's generally not stupid. It's just different to yours. Donald Trump, for all his flaws, I mean, the guy is, I mean, I sometimes, because I get so far left people, they're so easy to tease. I sometimes wish Donald Trump was not such an idiot, just so I could throw him in their face. I mean, he seems like a bit of a nana to me.
Yeah.
But, or like a sociopath. But I do want to kind of listen. I do want to see what's going on. Here are the point of view. Hear what's happening. Hear the rationality before I give complete judgment. And I think that the world should try to do that too.
Yeah, let's just see what he can do. And what's going to happen? I mean, in that discussion, just a little bit further along the discussion, there's another guy who says, what if Donald Trump actually ends up being really good? Are people's heads going to explode? Because they've so firmly entrenched themselves on one side of the argument without listening to the other side, that if he suddenly ends up being really good for America, let's imagine they really just explode in terms of influence and power and money and all the good things, all the positive things, and America becomes this paragon again of what is working and what makes sense and where the good ideas are. If that happens under Trump, what are they going to do then?
No, then they'll vilify that still. They'll vilify the progress and they'll say that it's a few getting rich, which it possibly is. And I don't think it'll be perfect. But the idea is, and this is the crucial problem, is that people are looking at Trump's presidency with the idea that whatever this man does, we should sabotage because he's the enemy. And when he does then try to do some good things, we'll sabotage them because he's the enemy. Yeah. Anything that comes out of his mouth is bad. Therefore, that's where we take our cues from. If he says this, then I now know what good is because the good is opposite of Trump. And that's a problem. That's not a political standpoint. That is a, I don't like you, therefore. I mean, it's playground politics.
Willful ignorance.
Yeah, it's absolute willful ignorance. That's what today's conversation should have been called. Pre-calculated willful ignorance. I'm choosing not to open my mind to any new thought because I dislike the source. And that's bullshit, and it needs to stop.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks, always dude. Good to see you.
Awesome.
Terrific discussion, as usual. You can hear it all and all the other episodes of The Reality Check with Rich Mulholland. Just go onto cliffcentral.com and you'll find it on The Gareth Cliff Show as one of our regular features. Cliffcentral.com.